Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Committee on Police Oversight, Thursday, April 17th, 2025. Councilmember Halton Pope.
Present.
Councilmember Rivera.
Present.
Councilmember Nowakowski.
Present.
Councilmember Bowman?
Present.
Councilmember Everhart?
Present.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the Police Oversight Committee meeting. Commissioner, this is your first meeting as commissioner here today. Welcome, and your command staff as well. We're going to start from the very top of the agenda, and we'll go item by item. There are approximately 5 items that we're going to go through. So we'll start off with the first item. You can call them.
Item 1, letter to Commissioner Wright regarding sheriff officials crash in April 2024.
Motion to open for discussion.
Motion to open for discussion. Commissioner?
First of all, I would apologize for being late. Something happened at the last minute. I'd like to have a commissioner make an opening statement.
Pardon me?
I'd like to make an opening statement.
You'd like or you want me to make? No.
I am.
Go right ahead. go right ahead.
Get right into it. First of all, I would like to thank this honorable body for the opportunity to speak to you today. I'd like to begin with an opening statement to address the items on the agenda. Regarding the ongoing investigation that has been discussed at length in the public realm, the Buffalo Police Department will always strive to provide as much transparency as possible in its everyday operations. We believe that only through transparency can the department further foster a sense of trust and legitimacy in the community. The community wants justice served just as we do. With this in mind, it is the primary goal of the department to protect the integrity of the investigation throughout the entirety of the investigation process and ensure findings are based on facts. Releasing information too early and while an investigation is ongoing can potentially jeopardize not only an administrative investigation, but also any criminal investigation that may take place. I feel that unnecessarily jeopardizing the case by releasing evidence into the public domain too early would be irresponsible and potentially handicap our ability to pursue either internal or criminal charges upon the conclusion of the investigation. That being said, the events of April 11, 2024 have garnered significant public interest. And while I will not irresponsibly divulge more than is prudent, I am happy to provide more context to ensure the trust of this honorable body and the community it represents. In January 2025, less than a week into my tenure as acting commissioner, the Internal Affairs Division received a complaint regarding actions that had taken place nearly a year prior. An Internal Affairs investigator was assigned the same day. I was immediately made aware of the complaint and that the case was being opened to investigate the allegations contained therein. Prior to 2025, there was no known concern regarding what had been characterized as a vehicle accident causing property damage only. Since then, Buffalo Police Internal Affairs investigators have been conducting a thorough and impartial investigation. Investigators have been interviewing victims, witnesses, and department personnel that were involved, in some cases multiple times. They have cameras for video and other evidence, submitting FOIA requests and issue subpoenas. Throughout the course of the investigation, assistance has been requested from numerous outside entities. This sprawling investigation has left no stone unturned in its pursuit of the truth. In March 2025, based on evidence uncovered and concerns over status of limitations, the Internal Affairs Division contacted the Erie County District Attorney's Office for a consultation over possible criminal charges. Due to conflict of interest at the DA's office, the decision was made to appoint the Niagara County District Attorney's Office as a special prosecutor. Since that decision was made, the Internal Affairs Division has continued to conduct its own internal investigation while assisting the special prosecutor in their concurrent investigation in any way possible. Both of these investigations remain active at this time. Every decision that has been made in this case has been made to ensure the integrity of the investigation. We always strive to complete investigations as quickly as possible and attempt to offer as much transparency as possible. However, conducting a complete and impartial investigation is the primary concern. As I stated before, we would be doing the public a disservice by rushing the investigation and or revealing information in a public forum that could possibly jeopardize its results or any possible subsequent disciplinary or criminal actions. At the completion of the ongoing investigation, I have no doubt that the Niagara County District Attorney's Office will commend Buffalo Police investigators for their thorough collection and review of evidence. Furthermore, with the 2020 repeal of Section 50A of the New York Civil Rights Law, every internal affairs investigation of Buffalo Police Department is subject to FOIA and disclosure upon the completion of disciplinary process. An important distinction for you to understand is that our internal affairs disciplinary process cannot conclude before the conclusion of the special prosecutor's probe. Upon the conclusion of this disciplinary process, the entire internal affairs file will become public domain and subject to public scrutiny. This allows the public to hold the department accountable for all its internal affairs investigations. This case is no different. It is at this point that I truly believe the public will also see that the efforts of the Buffalo Police Department were comprehensive and uncovered all the facts required to make an educated decision on the allegations we received in January. If any officers are found to have violated any departmental policies or any rules and regulations, I can assure the public and this honorable body that the appropriate disciplinary measures will be taken. Every decision that has been made in this case has been made with the primary objective of protecting the ongoing investigations, both ours and that of the special prosecutor, to answer specific questions before that time would place the justice we all seek in jeopardy. I understand it may be frustrating to hear that not all questions can be answered today. However, as part of our normal process, when this investigation concludes, the findings will be public record. I would like to thank you for patience during the course of this investigation. Due to these considerations, the Buffalo Police Department will not be providing any further comment on the investigation in question. Would you like me to go into the other agenda or?
No, we still perhaps have some comments. You may not be able to answer certain questions because of pending investigation, but as council members who by charter are authorized to investigate as well, as the district council member that represents that area, it is alarming to me that it took 10 months for me to find out. During those 10 months, people assume that there is a code of silence. We don't hear anything. It's the blue wall of silence, and we understand what the blue wall of silence is, that officers don't tattle on other officers. And the media had every right to ask those questions. And council members as well. So there was a period of time where Mr. Granville had the benefit of code of silence, that nothing was getting done. I don't know what investigations. You didn't hear about it till January, you said. Between the day of the incident and April, I don't know who or what was done in response by the officers. That was my concern. When I looked at it, I said, it doesn't seem right. The response to an accident or involving six vehicles, and then eventually we found out that there were witnesses with videos, and I found this out this just recently as the videos started to come out. So certainly we have questions, and the general public has questions as well, and every right. I understand you have your investigations to complete, and we hope that it is thorough. We hope that you circle back and talk to many of those people who were witnesses back then, who saw and perhaps had videos. And they are afraid to come forward. I've talked to people. They're afraid of the police. And they shouldn't be. They shouldn't be afraid of the police. It's the opposite. We want them to trust the police, to be able to go to police and share information that would help the police. But they're fearful. And so as you continue this investigation of your department, we ask that you go back and you talk to those folks, that you get those statements that should have been gotten back then. It's so basic in terms of investigation. The sooner you get to the scene, the sooner you talk to the victims, the sooner you talk to the witnesses, the better chance you have of solving the incident. And I think we all agree on that. But now we have to go back. We're catching up right now. At least I'm catching up. We have to go back and catch up and try to figure out what really happened. I have some procedural questions, you know, regarding what the officers did when they got to the scene in terms of body cameras. You can't answer them. I don't know if you can or can't. The sobriety test. Did they do a sobriety test or didn't they? Did they do a breathalyzer test or didn't they? If they didn't do it, there isn't probable cause to make an arrest. So that was the point where you could have made an arrest, if it warranted. I'm not saying it did. But it was at that point, either the sobriety test or the breathalyzer test. Those are just a few questions that go on. Certainly, we can talk about why this wasn't disclosed until January, only after the media approached us. Not because the police department called us, not because we got a call from one of the officers. It was the media that broke a story about the code of silence. And there shouldn't be a code of silence. And I'm not attributing it to the commissioner. You just came on recently. But there are a lot of questions that this council wants answers to develop trust with the general public. You said you want the general public to trust us. Then there has to be transparency and accountability. So wherever this investigation takes us, I hope it takes us to the truth. But on behalf of the victims of the accident, I'm here today. And I'm asking questions for them and for this common council as well. So you can't answer certain questions, but I would like for you to at least, you can't answer, but you can take notes of the questions that we're asking. So the body camera, the policy for the body camera,
What do you mean? Well, you can send them to an email because we're trying to write them down.
Okay, I'm sorry. The policy for the body cameras, were they activated, weren't activated? One where they shut up, one where they turned off, and one where they turned on. Was it shortly after they got there? Was it before they got there? We've invested a lot of money in body cameras, and we're hopeful that they were, and that is part of any evidence that you have. And if it's not, wow, that's a big question mark. Certainly, the actions of the police officers, what actions they took and didn't take with regard to the sobriety test. The accident report, the person that signed off on the accident report, I think those are serious questions. And like I said, I'm not placing guilt or innocence on anybody until the investigation, but those are questions that I have as a former police officer, as a council member, as representative to the people that were impacted by this incident. So I'm sure other council members perhaps might have questions, and I'll let other council members ask questions. Council Member Mitch Nowakowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have one quick question for the commissioner, just because, just to clarify to the public and to demonstrate timelines. Commissioner, did you state that your review and determination will come after the Niagara County prosecutor's determination?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Councilmember Everhart.
Thank you, Chairman. I just have a question to reiterate what my colleague said about timing. Your statement, thank you, very thorough. And perhaps you can take this back and get this answer to us at a later date. But I do want to know, like he said, what was done on that night, on that day. Was evidence collected? Were residents who were witnesses, were they interviewed? And what evidence was collected? What did the sobriety test say? We want to know what was done in between the 10 months when no one knew that this incident happened. So I just want to reiterate that.
Thank you. Any other questions? So, Commissioner, we ask, as you continue your investigation, that you answer some of those questions, that we go back to those witnesses that are fearful. They're fearful of the police. I mean, it's a sad thing when you have witnesses that want to come forward, but they're afraid of retaliation. And they shouldn't be. And I don't think that's your policy, and I don't think you stand for it.
No.
I don't think you stand, or your command staff as well. I don't think you stand for that. At the end of all this, I hope the right decision is made. And we need to go back to how the police officers responded that day. It seems like there was a complete breakdown, a complete and thorough breakdown in terms, as council members said, evidence collected, that they canvassed the neighborhood, that they knock on doors, that they asked for ring doorbells, that they asked for cell phone video, any video that was available to them. That's a thorough investigation. And the fact that a breathalyzer test was not given, you know, people are arrested every day in the city of Buffalo for DWI, driving while impaired, and they're not given those opportunities. The cuffs are put on them, they're taken away. And here we have an exception, considering you hit seven cars and you left the scene. And now we hear, and it's not corroborated, it's alleged, from the witness that was on, I believe, Channel 2 yesterday, that the person reeked, now these are allegations, and I want to state that, that person smelled of alcohol, that they saw cans of beer in the car. I don't know, but the officers that were there know. And they should give sworn statements, and they should not perjure themselves. They should say exactly what they saw. So that's, as you continue the investigation, we ask it to be very thorough and that we go back to the victims of these incidences. Council Member, Majority Leader, Leah Holton Pope.
Thank you, Holton Pope. Got to keep my daddy's name in there. I want to thank you so much for doing this. I realize that you were not the commissioner at the time, but were you the deputy commissioner?
That's correct.
Great. So were you not aware of this major incident as deputy commissioner?
I was not.
Nobody informed you of anything?
I found out January 2025.
So you were alerted at the same time that the rest of us were?
I was alerted at the same time.
Thank you so much. I just wanted to make sure I was clear about that. Thank you.
It's a good question. You know, who knew what? Who reported what to who? That day when the incident occurred, did they report it to a higher command staff? Did they report it to a chief? Did they report it to a captain? I don't know. But I can't imagine that something involving seven cars was not, you know, normally you call the chief and you say, "Chief, by the way, this happened last night." And the chief then gets on the phone and calls the mayor or he calls the council members and he says, "This is what happened overnight." So, I mean, at least that's been my experience because I've gotten those calls from the chief in the past to let me know that something has occurred in my district. So something as important as this, I would imagine, had to be passed up to somebody, but that's perhaps that could be part of your investigation as well. Council Member.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have one final question. Commissioner, I do know that five officers are currently on paid administrative leave. Is there a timetable within your procedures of how long someone can remain on paid administrative leave? I understand that certainly you don't want to rush anything, but ultimately taxpayers want to make sure that and I have been vocal on, you know, making sure that people that work for the city of Buffalo are actually working. And so when you're on paid administrative leave for an elongated period of time, it could cause disruption in especially staffing for you, but ultimately getting folks back to work, if that's the determination. How long of a period of time within your procedures can officers remain on paid administrative leave?
You know, that's one of the things I thought of when I placed them on administrative leave. I understand our budget constraints, but again, I want to make sure we do a thorough investigation. I want to make sure that we investigate each person to the fullest. So we can have them on administrative leave. There are some people that's on administrative leave for years, but I have complete confidence in the special prosecutor in Niagara County, so whenever that's wrapped up, anticipate if whatever our findings then, which we'll decide at each officer's case.
Commissioner, just briefly, and this is related to anything that could happen in the future in terms of body cameras, not necessarily this particular one. Today, they answer a call. When does the body camera go on and when does it go off?
When a call is placed, the body cameras are goes on.
Okay.
It should go off when the call is concluded.
Okay, so the camera would go on. Can officers turn off the cameras themselves? I mean, is it, they can?
Yes.
In terms of policy, are they allowed to turn the cameras on while answering a call?
Why don't you go there? Mr. Chairman, I'm Deputy Commissioner Patrick Oberdorf. The body camera policy, like you alluded to, our policy states that when they're responding to a call, when they're dispatched to a call, they are to turn that on, and there's to keep it on until the conclusion of that case. There are certain carve-outs in that policy where they are allowed to turn them off, but it's only under very specific circumstances. While they're completing police actions, those are supposed to be on the entire time.
Okay. Well, we appreciate that, and being straightforward, because I believe I agree with the policy it should be on. I believe we should have the technology, like other, I think the state police have, where it's not up to them. I guess they can turn it on automatically. The cameras are not controlled by the officers.
I think it.
There are some auto activation systems in place. When they unholster a taser, it auto-activates. When they unholster their firearm, that's in the process of being rolled out. We have about half the patrol done right now with the auto-activation for the holsters. There are also situations where that holster, untasering a holster or a firearm, sends out a Bluetooth signal. So any officers in that direct vicinity also auto-activate. We are currently in the process of implementing our Fleet 3 cameras into the cars in the system. Most of them are installed right now. We are working on a final policy with the union, and once that's rolled out, their auto activation features also with those dash cams. They're not activated yet, but when they are activated, they'll have auto activation features that tie into the body cameras, as well as different auto activation features in the car itself when it's activated for the dash cam.
Thank you. And this common council appropriated money for body cameras for less lethal weapons. And the body cameras are there not just to take a look at what's happening. It's there to protect the officers as well. They can catch somebody shooting at an officer. They can catch somebody taking a swing at an officer. So it works both ways. In this particular case, how many officers were at the scene?
Again, I really don't want to answer those questions. But just
I assume there are five people put on administrative leave, so at least five, I believe, unless there were more. And that's fine. You don't have to answer that. But I surmise that there were five people put on administrative leave. So thank you for the information on the body cameras. If there are no other questions.
I definitely have questions, but I'll wait till we get to the item.
Okay. So we're going to table this item.
Motion to close discussion. Motion to close discussion.
Motion to close discussion.
Seconded by
Mr. Nowakowski.
Motion to table.
Motion to table. Next item.
Item 2, news article on police oversight.
Mr. Chair, given that the sponsor for both items 2 and 3 are not here, the motion is to table items 2 and 3.
Motion to table items 2 and 3, seconded by Councilmember Eberhard.
Item 4, review and update on Buffalo Police Department interaction with bail enforcement agencies.
Motion to open for discussion.
Motion open for discussion.
Seconded by
Councilmember Eberhard.
Unfortunately, I think you guys have copies we might not have.
So. I'm sorry.
Oh, Is there a question maybe we can answer?
If we can, I can begin if you don't mind.
No, go right ahead.
If the commissioner would like to speak afterwards, that's fine. So the item that we're discussing right now is the interaction with BPD's interaction with bail enforcement agencies, and specifically my predecessor asked an update on the response and information provided by the Buffalo Police Department regarding their policy and practices in assisting bail enforcement agents. This morning, I received a copy of something that was posted in 2021 that gives the, I guess, a general order, the policy in place for that, and I appreciate that. So we do have that in hand. I think when we ask for these things in the future, it would be very helpful if we get them in a timely fashion from the departments that we're requesting them from, as opposed to years later. The second is a request detailing a report from Corporation Counsel on the legal and current framework at the city, state, federal level that govern the operation and regulation of bail enforcement agents. Along with any recent changes or developments in this area. It is my understanding to date we have not received anything from Corporation Counsel regarding this. And I do not see Corporation Counsel here to discuss where those items are at the moment, except for our representative, and I'm not sure that she would have had those. The item has been on the agenda since February 2024. Nothing? Great. So my motion would be, after we conclude this, if my colleagues don't have any questions on this, because that's not necessarily for you, you've provided the information, is that we table this until Corporation Counsel can provide us with the appropriate information that was asked for several years ago and then re-asked in February of last year.
Thank you. We asked staff forward that information to Corporation Counsel for a response.
Motion to close discussion.
Motion to close discussion, seconded by Councilmember Nowakowski.
Motion to table.
Motion to table, seconded by Nowakowski.
Item 5, evaluation and continuation of body cam policy implementation and compliance.
Motion to open for discussion.
Motion to open for discussion, seconded by Councilmember Zanetta Eberhardt. We just went through some of this information just recently.
We talked a little bit about the program. However, the resolution, as it's written, requests a few things. It requests an updated statistical report from the Buffalo Police Department detailing the current status of body camera usage among its officers, including but not limited to, number one, the number of officers equipped with body cameras. This program does not include statistics as requested. Number two, it requests a summary of P-1385, the failure to activate and terminate cameras, and P-1375, failure to download video form submissions. Do we have those statistics? And let me be clear, this is not an indictment on you, Commissioner. This request came in before you became Commissioner, so this is not something that's on you. However, there have been staff who've been there since before you took this role. They could have provided statistics to the council as requested.
I'll make sure you get them.
So I'm going to ask that you can get this in the next 2 weeks. It's statistics. I'm sure it can't be hard to discover who's activated.
Are you able to provide those statistics to us in the next 2 weeks or week?
No, we should be able to.
Okay.
Yeah, I think because we've discussed in the past, most recently, I would say over in my short tenure of serving here, we have heard that there were a certain number of people who have body cameras on their person. How many officers? Are all of the officers required to have them?
Well, patrol forward-facing officers, of course, not at my command staff, unless they want them.
Great. So I think that statistic, we can get that. That would be helpful. But then specifically the summary of the failure to activate and terminate cameras, this is especially relevant considering item number one. We want to know how many people are actually not turning them on or turning them off. I'd like to know exactly how many times that P-1375 wasn't used, where there was a failure to download the actual video from that. That's the information that this honorable body has asked for in the past, not an indictment on you, but unfortunately, You're in the seat, your name is on the door, so I've got to ask you to get that information to us as soon as humanly possible. I will reiterate that this this is not a new request of this council. My predecessor asked this request, had this request. I reiterated it last year, February, and to not have it in April of 2025 is a little disheartening. And then the final question was the number of internal affair investigations available regarding body cam footage. I don't have any of that information. And so that, I think, answers a lot of the questions that we have regarding the first item. It may speak to some of the concerns that the community and the public may have. If we had that information available, I think this is going to add to transparency and being fair and open to the public on the status of our police. I happen to be probably the only council member that happens to have all five districts in mind. I have a great relationship with every single chief. They respond to us in a fair way. The CPOs that represent the Ellicott District are amazing, and that's never been in question for me. However, if the policies are not clear and we don't have statistics, I can't speak to those things when my constituents come and ask me for those.
Absolutely. Commissioner, can you provide us with the statistics that the council member had mentioned, including cases in internal affairs regards to not using body cameras or inactivating body cameras?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. What would you like to do? Table?
Yes, the motion will be to close discussion.
Motion to close discussion, seconded by Councilmember Everhart.
Motion to table.
Motion to table, seconded by Councilmember Nowakowski.
If there is nothing further, motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn, seconded by Councilmember Nowakowski.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.